Good afternoon, everyone listening. My name is Grazia Alfahini. I'm the Roots Occupational Health and Wellbeing Manager. This is a fairly new role in Network Rail. It was created about 2 years ago. The first Occupational Health and Wellbeing Managers came into post. It was created as part of the Network Rail strategic vision, Everyone Fit for the Future. Now, in this vision, Network Rail as an organization recognized that employees enjoying high levels of health and well-being, mental, physical, and social, also tend to be more engaged, more innovative, and also work safer. Now, it made sense then to place somebody in this role to assist the route to drive health and well-being priorities. Now, that was just a little bit of background about me and my role. It stands to reason that not everybody that listened to the Safety Hour call would also take the opportunity to review the blog or website. However, I would like to take this opportunity to emphasize utilizing it as a valuable resource for information to spark your own safety discussions. Now, I would like to take that opportunity to hold my little safety discussion today with your permission, and it's around Men's Health Awareness Week. Men's Health Awareness Week is running this week between the 13th and 19th June, and the topic of this year's Men's Health Awareness Week is how do you beat stress? Now, it's probably a novel conversation for Safety Hour, but I really wanted to make that link and connection about why we should talk about stress, especially, and I just wanted to highlight some statistics for your information. Obviously, the transport industry is a largely male-dominated industry, so it makes sense to have a health promotional activity around men's health. But even more important than that, when we look at some of the information that has been made available by the Men's Health Forum in their report, How to Make Mental Health Services Work for Men, they talk about the following statistics. They say 75% of all people diagnosed with depression and receive treatment for it is women. However, 75% of all suicides are men, and depression is one of the leading causes of suicide. So there seems to be a big mismatch. Another key and alarming statistic is that 86% of all rough sleepers is men. 50% of all people that are sectioned for treatment in a psychiatric institute is men. So I really thought that these are quite alarming, and I'm sure you would as well, quite alarming statistics. And as such, I thought this is a great opportunity to open a discussion to talk about stress and also get your feedback as what as an organization or as a route we can do to help and address this problem. Now, just a little bit of information. Stress is normal. We all need it to sort of drive us and get us motivated. You know, it gives us that oomph to get things done in a timely manner or get them done at all. However, if that stress continues for long periods, those hormones that drive the stress response, adrenaline and cortisol, they start to affect our system. Our immune system becomes less effective. It starts to have serious problems on our mental health and also on our physical health. It is not good for our bodies to be exposed to chronic stress and long-term stress. Why is it important that I'm having this conversation, other than the statistics that I just mentioned? It's because stress is also a precursor or a trigger for more common mental health disorders like anxiety and depression. And as what I just mentioned in the statistics, if stress can be a trigger or lead to anxiety and depression, and men don't necessarily access the services available to help them manage their depression, we really need to help and address recognizing the symptoms of stress early and stop it from building or escalating into anxiety and depression. So I wanted to ask, make this a very interactive session as much as possible, and I've sent out a couple of posters to different section planners and different people, and in Basingstoke campus, sort of, I've put up a couple of different posters, and I wanted to. It's all about the things that people do to help them manage stress, and cope for it. And one of the sort of questions that I wanted to ask listeners that are potentially brave to interact is what do they see, how do they deal with stress, and what do they think is the barriers in our workplace at the moment that is stopping them from talking about it. Now, it might not necessarily be their own stress, but just in general, what do they feel is the things that hinder or the barriers that are stopping people from talking about it? Tracy, if we could open the lines for anybody that is willing to engage in a discussion, that would be great.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name followed by the hash key. Okay, there are no questions or queries coming in at this time.
Yeah. I wanted, before I move on, just to quickly to talk about what are the symptoms to look out for. Just wanted to also highlight to people that I was in a meeting the other day with Validium, our employee assistance program, and one of the things that they highlighted was the Olympic gold medalist Chris Hoy also consulted counseling to help him, and I mean, this is an athlete at the top of his game, and also quite openly talked about the fact that if it wasn't, seeking counselling and help, he would have been so distracted and probably wouldn't have been able to achieve what he did, in relation to his profession and his goals. So, I think one of the things that I definitely realise in informal conversations with people is the association of stress with weakness, and as more and more people talk about it, and especially people like Chris Hoy, as they talk about sharing their experiences with stress and how they have dealt with it, it definitely makes it much more easier for everyday people on the street to start talking about it, and especially men as well. Just quickly, then, in relation to symptoms, that what are sort of the warning signs to look out for? they normally sort of group it under both physical symptoms, sort of social symptoms, and then sort of mental, cognitive symptoms. So, you know, people could have, you know, mood swings. They withdraw normally, you know, if they normally bubbly and talkative people, they're not as talkative or bubbly anymore, more angry and frustrated, lashing out, short-tempered, that kind of thing. So then also, you know, people not sleeping very well because, you know, invasive thoughts, withdrawing from family and friends, so not really engaging in social activities that they used to go to, and just generally behaving out of character for themselves. And another thing as well is just losing interest in things that people used to find pleasant and that they used to like and enjoy. So one of the things that I'm really keen for us as a routine organization to help move forward is being there, sort of being your brother's keeper, so to speak, and taking that small effort and asking people on, you know, how they're doing, if somebody is off work, you know, keeping in touch via text or email. And, I mean, you don't necessarily have to talk about, you know, the issues that somebody is having, but just, you know, making yourself available as an ear to listen would already help the, you know, anybody going through a difficult time. Probably as anybody would say, it's just, you know, somebody asking or even taking notice that you're not yourself already helps you deal with the issue a lot better. so I'm going to move on then in relation to this. Just lastly, before I move on from this topic, I just want to say that there are resources on the blog from Validium. So if anybody is going through some difficult time, if they wanted to know how they could support, if a line manager wanted to know how to support an employee, they can contact Validium and dial 5 and they'd be able to get assistance from on how to better support the employee. And if somebody is going through a difficult time and would like to chat with anybody, then Validium is there. I know there's a lot of changes going on in our organisation, so I do believe the stress levels are high and it would be of benefit. So please, I would ask section planners or anybody that's dialing into this call to go onto the blog, print off the information and make it available to the rest of your team that might not have the opportunity to dial into the call today. You know, we don't know, you know, our small acts that we do, asking somebody for a coffee, printing off information and making it available to somebody might make a big difference in somebody's life. And we don't know which of those actions or steps that we take would be the one that makes that difference. Secondly, also on the safety blog that you can also have a read through is just an incident that happened. So it's in relation to a safety alert. There was a road traffic accident on the 5th of June where two team members working for a subcontractor to Balfour Beatty, working on a Crossrail East program, was involved in a road traffic accident on their way home after working a 10-hour shift. I think, you know, this is only information that we have available and we obviously don't know all the factors that are necessarily involved. But it really takes me back to our safety workshops that we had recently, and especially our road risk safety conversation or workshop that we had, and especially around the elements of fatigue that was covered. And I would really like, if people are out there at the moment listening, if they have any information or any ideas of how to move this element forward or have any suggestions, that they contact me. My name is Bratia Al-Fahini at networkrail.co.uk, so that we can feed this into our road risk working group and see where, you know, what differences we can make. I would like to make the lines open, Tracy, if all possible. Anybody that wants to have it, that has any comments or have any suggestions relating to stress or to this incident and fatigue in particular.
Okay, well, there was one line that came in before, they star zero, but no name was captured. So if you did queue to ask a question, your line is now open for you to do so.
James McCoy.
Hiya, James.
Hi. The there's a well-known exercise, well-known to reduce stress. So the gym in Basingstoke is, I think it's quite well subscribed. I see the same people in here over and over again, and it is obviously it's free to use, which is a huge benefit. It is attended twice a week by someone from Nuffield Health, and that was initially funded from the Rock Build Project for 1 year. Now, I know myself and at least two others have benefited from having that resource here for rehab from injuries and running inductions, but I'm very aware, and I get asked a lot, what's going to happen when that initial period of funding is up? Is there a well-being budget that will fund a further year of that resource, or is that due to finish and there's no chance that that will be maintained or continued?
James, I'm aware of that. I think this is something that I would need to take forward and just get clarification. And if that's okay, I would like to provide you with feedback, or we can do that as well, you know, personally via email, or just update in the next safety hour or so. But yes, I need to get clarification about what the next steps are. I believe as the gym opened in September, we're coming up to almost to that deadline now again. So it's seeing what decision the Roost is making in relation to whether it would be available, but whether people would be paying, or whether it would be, like you said, just a resource open and available to South Australian staff. So I need to get confirmation from that, and I would provide an update.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. If there are any further questions or comments, please do star then one, record your name, followed by the hash key. Okay, there are no questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, if there's no questions, that would conclude my safety discussion for today. I would just like to in the spirit of raising awareness about steps that people are taking to improve their health and fitness, as well as reduce their stress levels, also promote a five-a-side football that's happening on Monday night, and the contact person is Glenn Crouch at networkrail.co.uk, and there was an email that this is happening in Basingstoke campus on Mondays and kick off for half five. So if anybody is interested in getting involved with this, or have thinking about projects that they want to run locally, walking clubs, running clubs, whatever, to improve team cohesion, improve general well-being, and want to raise awareness of it, please get in contact with me. I would be happy to bang the drum on that and try to drum up more people and see if we cannot have something a bit more competition route-wide. I think people are doing brilliant things locally, but they never tend to move beyond that. So sharing what you're doing and what's working is really good. And if you guys have had successes, then please let me know so that we can see if something like that can't be duplicated elsewhere within the REIT. If there's no further questions, then this will be the end of the safety hour discussion for today. Thank you.